feeling today? Are you ready for day two?
From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is Cosby Unraveled. I'm Annette John Hall. It's the second day of the trial against Bill Cosby, and the buzz is all about Andrea Constant taking the stand today. Constant is the one. Out of all of the women who have accused Cosby of sexual assault, Constant's allegations are the only ones that have resulted in criminal charges. In many ways, the case against Cosby hinges on her testimony. WHYY reporters Bobby Allen and Laura Benshoff were at the courthouse. Hey guys, you were inside. What was the atmosphere like?
Hey Annette, it's Bobby. So word about Andrea Constant appearing in the courthouse was spreading around pretty quickly. Rumors were being whispered about from reporters, and we all were asking ourselves, is today the day? Is Constant going to take the stand? Is she just in the courtroom to support a witness in the audience? But no, indeed, she did take the stand, and for the first hour and a half to 2 hours, Laura Benshoff, my colleague here, was there, and she can tell you what that looked like. Laura?
Hey, Annette. So just a little bit before 2 p.m., Andrea Constant's name was announced, and you could kind of feel the courtroom snap, too, because this is the biggest witness. And she came in, and it was really strange to see her after seeing so many pictures of her and reading her testimony so many times, reading the charging documents, knowing the shape of the story, but never actually having seen the woman before.
What can you tell us about Constant?
She has a very striking figure. She's been a professional athlete in Italy and played in college and has been very active in basketball and other athletics for a while. So there's something about her. She looks very strong, doesn't she, Laura? She looks like a real consummate athlete in a way.
She does. She has very broad shoulders. She's a tall, thin, striking woman with this like huge mane of curly brown hair that seems to defy gravity. And she just carried herself seemingly very confidently. She walked in, she smiled a lot at the jury. You know, she said ma'am to the attorneys. She was very respectful. And, you know, that was just color that we didn't have of who she is.
Yeah, exactly. And there was a court break, and usually the witness, especially someone like Andrea Constant, who is a star witness, they would push back into a side courtroom and the audience reporters wouldn't see them. But Andrea was hanging out in the prosecution chair, kind of like playing with her reading glasses, slouched a little bit, and just looked like she was chilling. I mean, she seemed really relaxed. And the thing that struck me about her testimony was how in control she seemed.
She really spent a couple of hours just unpacking her whole relationship with Bill Cosby from start to finish in as much detail as it seemed like she could muster.
She was very composed, very cool, very matter of fact. She did have moments where her voice got thin because it was emotional, but never went past that point. She was able to maintain complete control of what she was saying, even during the most graphic and stirring and disturbing parts of her testimony.
So how did Cosby react? What did he look like?
What I saw was during her testimony, in particular when she was speaking about the alleged assault, he was not looking at her. He was positioning his body away so he was not facing her. He would rest his head, like the side of his face, on his hand, or at one point I saw him kind of gripping his forehead.
For the most part, as was the case yesterday, doesn't react much. He's kind of like a statue of Cosby, right? He's just like there, kind of motionless, kind of expressionless. When he does anything at all, it's kind of newsworthy, right? So he doesn't really do much. He's just kind of hanging out next to his attorneys. Sometimes he's conferring with them. Sometimes he'll grimace a little bit. But, you know, the Cosby that everyone knows from the Cosby Show, the elastic Cosby face, animated and lighting up and full of humor and full of energy, that's diminished. That's very muted during this trial.
What about the jury? How did they respond?
The jury is almost totally obscured from our vision because they have this enormous smart board positioned right in front of the jury. So I can only see about 3 of the 18 jurors who are seated in the courtroom, 12 of whom are active jurors. So it was really hard to tell. I mean, and a lot of times if they lean back in their seat or if they seem impassive or if their head is down and they're taking notes of what she's saying, it was hard for me, of the 3 people I could see, to really get a beat on what they're feeling.
You do wonder, why is there this giant oversized screen directly in front of the jury, like Laura said, completely obscuring them? I mean, we don't really know what's going on in their minds because we can't even see the expression on their face.
Monday, Kelly Johnson gave a really emotional testimony. I'm wondering what Constance was like.
You know, she was very calm. She spoke well. She had a Canadian accent that kind of peeked out around her vowels in particular. And, you know, she just walked us through at the sort of behest of this assistant district attorney, Kristen Fedden, who is the only woman on that team or the only woman litigator on that team. And, you know, took us through meeting Cosby at Temple at a basketball game, him kind of striking up, in her words, a kind of friendly, mentor-y, trusting relationship, and dinners at his house, either alone or with other people, into the much harder stuff. When the assistant district attorney sort of first got close to talking about the alleged assault, she sort of let us know she was going there, let Constance know she was going there, and then backed off and asked a different question so that Constance, I guess, could have a moment to compose herself. But it kind of did build this suspense in. Because we'd spent, you know, I'm guessing at that point, at least 30 minutes just building up examples of times that Andrea Constant and Cosby had had contact. You know, they talked on the phone about Temple's basketball program. He invited her to a dinner with people from sports programs at various area universities. She had already described him making one pass at her, or one pass that she identified as a pass, and he tried to unzip her pants. And she said, you know, I'm not here for that. And she also repeated throughout, you know, that kind of buildup that she didn't see him as a threat. I mean, she was an athlete. She was a basketball player. She, you know, is somebody who conveys and said that she was very comfortable in her body and said she never felt threatened by him. So what came next, you know, was set up to be all that more jarring. Hearing from her, in her own words, what happened, we just haven't had that. And that, to me, was what was the most arresting part about it. And, you know, she was able to say these things in a very matter-of-fact way. There would still be emotion in her voice. You could tell that she wasn't, you know, inert. She's not a robot. But she was able to get through it and put us in her shoes at that time and let us know exactly what she was thinking and feeling to the best of her recollection.
How did Constant do under cross-examination?
So Angela Agrusa, who's a Los Angeles-based defense attorney, part of Cosby's legal defense team, did all of the cross-examination. And just by the very nature of the form of cross-examination, it's a combative experience. I mean, her goal is to try to find inconsistencies in prior statements that Andrea Constant has made, gaps in her timeline, and instances where it might appear that what she is saying cannot be trusted. The whole purpose of her cross-examination is to discredit this witness, who is the star witness at the heart of the criminal complaint that brought us all to Montgomery County for the trial of Bill Cosby. And she went over a number of things. I could just name two off the top of my head that she hoped would show the jury that Andrea Constant can't be trusted. One of which is when Andrea Constant said to police originally that she had not contacted or had basically cut off contact with Cosby after the alleged assault. And there was one number that was in excess of 70 calls said today. Yesterday, there was another number that was more than 50 calls. And they subpoenaed all of Andrea Constant's phone records to try to see how many times she had been contacting Cosby, you know, before and after the alleged assault. Another example is Angela Grusa brought up how Constant said there were two prior sexual contacts between Cosby. Now, in the deposition, when she was pressed about this, Andrea Constant said, well, it wasn't really sexual contact. It was more suggestive. And it's sort of in those little shades of gray. What exactly happened? How did she phrase it? I was telling Laura on the ride up here, I mean, I could barely remember what I had for dinner last night, let alone what happened to me or what I said 12 or 13 years ago. So this task is a very challenging one, and it is the job and the role of the defense team to really, really, really push these inconsistencies in Constance's face and to make the jury believe that it amounts to her being an untrustworthy person. I talked to Constance's attorney who was walking out of the courtroom when the day wrapped, and she said, my client is gutsy for doing that. She's tough. She got through it. She was headstrong. And I think most people who were observing her had the same feeling. I mean, she didn't break down. She's a professional athlete. I mean, by nature, she is a tough person, and she's emotionally strong too. So I think she exhibited a pretty strong shield in the face of nonstop attacks.
This was a big day in a lot of ways. So what's next?
So, I mean, we can expect a lot more cross-examination. We're going to expect more of what Bobby was just talking about in terms of them problematizing, you know, previous versions of the story that she's given, that Andrea and Constant has given, either in police reports or in deposition testimony, and also attempts, perhaps, because we've seen this from them already, to just cast their relationship in a different light. You know, right now, the timeline of what happened on the night in question is not up for debate, but what light you see it in is what's totally up for debate. So they're going to keep trying to, you know, turn up the brightness or whatever, throw a shade on it, whatever metaphor you want, to try to get enough doubt in jurors' minds that, you know, they won't believe that she didn't consent.
And that's really the main dispute of the whole trial, at least so far. Was it consensual?
Thanks, Bobby. Thanks, Laura.
Thank you, Annette.
Thank you, Annette.
See ya.
For updates as the trial unfolds, subscribe to Cosby Unraveled, wherever you get your podcasts.